And we ask, who is this mystery singer in our shower?
Down yonder green valley where streamlets meander, when twilight is falling, I pensively rove. Or at the bright moontide in solitude wonder, amid the dark shade of the lonely ash grove. It was there while the blackbird was joyfully
No idea who it is today.
Singing.
Have you, Brenda?
Ooh, I'm thinking of Imelda May, because I know she's around the place, because she's the television show starting soon. So I know she's around.
Mm-hmm.
It might be her.
Would she sing a song like that? Highly unlikely.
Well, she's a very varied repertoire. Not her style, though.
Singing in the shower. Just singing in the shower.
Brenda, get out of my shower. Let the listeners in. Thanks to Tile Style, the ultimate destination for bathrooms, wood flooring and tiles, our prize is a voucher to the value of €2,500. It's time to play Mooney's Singing in the Shower.
I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let's live or let go. Oh, 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 oh. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden.
Hello, that garden. Everybody knew who it was. There's no point in even pretending people didn't know it was June Rogers.
I know.
Because you can't get rid of that common as muck accent, the one that June has singing there in her rose garden. June, you're very welcome.
Sorry, I live at the foot of the Dublin Mountains. I'm sorry.
I know you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I see that you say that your garden is the beginning of the Dublin Mountains. It's so big, your back garden.
Absolutely. Yes, I was born and bred in Talla Village. But I laugh about it now because people do say that they live at the foot of the Dublin Mountains. Instead of saying they live in Tala, they say they live in the foot of the Dublin Mountains. So we
Which
do it as
lovely.
A joke.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong?
We
Why
are
they
at the foot of the
that?
Dublin Mountains.
There's nothing wrong with Tala anyway.
No, there isn't. There's nothing wrong with Tala.
Do you know, I was kind of surprised when TV3 did that series, Talafornia.
Oh, I hate it.
Which was kind of car crash telly. But that's what most reality programmes are. I'm not slagging off TV3 for that, by the way. Just that's what they are. You watch it because it's so horrendous.
So I
was kind of surprised they didn't have you in it, being a Talafornian yourself.
Actually, a lot of the people that were in that programme weren't even from Tala.
Were they not?
No.
No, they were kind of, there were some from Racool and kind of surrounding Clondalkin and that. They weren't actually from Tala.
I didn't like
my favourite line on telly was on that series. Do you remember the big muscular guy?
They were all David.
And he was really grumpy as well. And nobody kind of got on with them.
Oh, Cormac.
Corminator.
The Corminator, yeah.
And they brought them off to, I don't know, Magaluf or Ibiza or somewhere, and they're all there for the summer and hoping for kind of sand, sea and, you know, yourself.
Sangria.
And they go to a foam party, right? And that's where, you know, the foam comes down. They're on their swimming togs and they're all dancing away and that. And the next morning they're interviewing the Corminator. And he says...
This better be good.
They said, well,
yeah, better be, you're right. Do you ever do build-ups like this to your gags?
No.
I mean, June earns a living from this, you know, you've got to make her laugh. Mind you, she's able to professionally laugh.
Professionally laugh, please, he says. He said, what happened in the foam party stays in the foam party. Sorry, does anybody mind that? You know the way they say, you know, what happens beyond minute stays beyond minute or whatever.
Right.
What happens in the foam party stays
in the foam party. See, Brenda, have a nice life.
Listen, I'll just continue talking
to you. Take that bottle off her, Derek, would you?
They're laughing. Look, they're laughing.
Take the bottle off her, Derek.
Nothing going on in their lives. They were watching the Rosa Tralee last night.
What about the woman with the high hair, the Rosa Tralee on the Monday night?
Oh, I didn't
see
her.
She said, the higher your hair, the closer you are to Jesus. That was really funny as well.
And was she joking or was she quite serious?
Joking.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Maybe she had a strong belief.
Money to charity as well.
What happens in the phone party stays in the phone party.
In the phone party, okay.
Well, it was interesting, the winner of the Rose of Tralee, who's from Philadelphia, as it happens. I didn't watch it, but I flicked on last night, as you do.
I didn't.
Well, you do because it's a bit like watching the Eurovision. For people who don't like the Eurovision, they just want to know what happens in the voting
to
see how Ireland did. So I was kind of watching the clock and said, okay, flick it on and I'll watch and see
what happens, who wins. And it wasn't over, but the Philadelphia Rose was on. And I heard her saying, they were talking about not drinking, and she was a pioneer and a proud member of the Pioneer Club or whatever it was, and that she's still first onto the floor and the last one to leave. And then she wins, it turns out. And then I hear her interviews on various stations this morning, and she says the exact same thing. Everybody knows who knows me. Everybody who knows me knows I'm the first on the floor and the last one to leave.
Yeah.
And I said, that's how you win the Rose of Tralee.
By being a pioneer?
No, you rehearse. You rehearse your answers.
Okay.
Partly.
Do you see the pictures of her?
I think I saw her in the front of the paper name. Today.
Yeah. No, she's very attractive.
She's beautiful. Yeah. She's like Audrey Hepburn.
But is she happy?
Has that lovely
she happy?
Look.
Okay. Is she happy? You know what I mean?
Are you probably happy, June?
Absolutely. But sure, everything's perfect with me.
Did you ever want to enter anything like that? Beauty pageants?
I've won them. I've won numerous ones. Absolutely. Miss Talon 1942, I think it was.
No, I'm
swimwear.
Serious.
It was a swimwear section.
I'm serious. I'm deadly serious.
What?
Did you ever consider entering anything like
not
that?
Not at
Tell
all.
Tell you why I ask. Was there
I had a friend, actually, because we used to go to Butlins years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. And yeah. We used to have great fun. We were teenagers. But my friend, Sandra, used to go in for the Queen of Hearts every year. And she won it every
What's
year.
The Queen of Hearts?
It was like the beauty pageant. And she went in every year and she won it. She was stunning. Mm. And I was a little friend who used to go with her. I just hold the bag.
Did you double date?
I reckon with Sandra, no?
No, with like two guys.
No, we didn't do anything like that. We were actually very innocent. Yeah, we were very innocent. Still am, of course, Derek, you can see that.
No, but you're married now, so you can't be that innocent.
I'm married now.
Though I heard that you're getting all maternal and kind of sorry you didn't have kids. Is that true?
Well, it's not that. I suppose the older you get, I suppose because Peter and I was nearly 40 before we met. So I hadn't considered having children before that because I hadn't met the person that I would like to have had children with. And I think what happened was, as the years went by and my career went by, the years just rolled on. Now, in saying that, I had my three beautiful nieces, Karen, Gillian and Megan, that my sister would say I was like a second mother to them because I was there with them all the time. But the great thing was I could hand them back at the end of the day. But I suppose as the years have gone by, I would have loved to have probably had a child. And I suppose when I hit into my early 40s, I thought I was too old. Which, in fact,
is not true now.
It's not true now,
and
but years ago it would have been.
The amount of women having children, kind of late 30s, early 40s, etc., is huge. I mean, I was nearly 43 when I had Harvey.
Yeah.
He's only minus five now,
Yeah, but I think years ago, you just automatically...
You didn't,
No, you didn't. You didn't think of that. Mm. So I think, and I know, especially with Peter, because Peter, I have a grandniece and grandnephew, Chloe and Will now, and we absolutely adore them. It's like a full circle has come around again, and Christmas is great because there's now a baby out there again, and we can, you know, go down all the Christmas pantos
but
again.
But to have one of your own, because I know a lot of women, obviously, and they're all... Well, they don't have kids or they've had a kid and they don't have a partner. They want to have another kid. The clock is ticking the whole time.
Yeah.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
No, well, I suppose, as I say, I left it too late. But I know
but
that Peter...
you could foster or adopt maybe, no?
Well, I'm too old now, I suppose, to do that.
That would be ridiculous.
Well, no,
you're
the rules
full of
are very
life.
Strict.
The rules are very,
well,
strict.
Very strict. Well, and adopting particularly, yeah. I mean,
but you, see, you
go to the ringer in terms of your age, your relationship, you know, you have to obviously attend courses and one-to-one assessments and you're over and back to wherever you're deciding to adopt.
You have to do all of that to adopt.
Yeah.
And you can just go and have casual sex in the back of a car and conceive.
Yeah, I know.
Without any planning at all.
I know.
I'm not saying that's the way every child is conceived. Don't get me wrong.
No, but
please don't jump on my back for saying it, but you know what I mean.
I must say Peter would have loved to have had a baby. You know what I mean? He would be a fantastic
but
father.
But you're like, how old are you now, June?
I'm 55.
Yeah, but you're full of life.
Oh, I am, yes.
And people now in their 60s and people in their 70s are full of life. People are living longer.
I suppose I would have to consider I'm 55 now and if you had a baby, you know.
They'd be going to school, you'd be 60.
For me to be able to look after a child.
But even fostering then, where the child is not going to be with you, or the person is not going to be with you.
I'd never thought of that, actually.
The whole time.
I never
So it's not a baby
that.
When you foster. You're not fostering a baby person, are you? You're fostering kind of a young person sort of thing. Well, that could be an idea, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Because I'd say you have a lot to give.
Well, the thing is, as well, I suppose, as well as that, I suppose the older you get then, the more selfish you get. As in, well, not selfish, but like because of the way I work, I'm away a lot as well. And I know when I grew up, my mum was there every day when I came home from school. There was always somebody there. And I suppose the way I would have felt is that I would like to have been there as well. To be there, you know, so if you're, you know, work commitments, you could be away for a few weeks, you could be, you know, travelling, that kind of thing. So that would be hard as well.
Mm.
So you take all those into consideration, you know, that kind of way. But yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone very quiet.
He has gone very quiet. Maybe he's thinking about maybe like
no,
a
he's
little
just
baddie himself.
Again. He does this all the time.
I just fell asleep there. No. I was just, I just wanted to hear. I wanted you to continue talking about it because I want to see if I could get any deeper with you on this subject.
No, deeper.
Maybe
looking.
You would turn around and say, well, actually, you know what? You have a good idea now there. I'm going to foster. But you're not going to say that. By the way, thanks for the present. June brought us in lovely presents, guests.
Yes, and
for
I
future
am
guests
very
coming
grateful.
Into the programme, she brought in lovely gifts of shower jelly stuff.
Yeah, because
and she brought me in a litre bottle of water as well so I could have a shower in the morning.
Yeah, and I brought in some Febreze because the smell in here was not good.
I got some radiant colour conditioner and shampoo. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're
very kind of you.
Not at all.
I've got something to play for you, so put the headphones on.
Okay.
And I'm going to play this and then I'm going to ask you, why am I playing this? Can you tell me what it means to you?
Okay.
Thank you, Kieran.
Two runnies.
Oh, they're not going to play it, yeah.
They're not. Okay, do you want us to take off your shoes and helmet?
Yeah. We'll take a little break out.
Okay.
There's a little freeze, the button is frozen.
Okay, we just
and then we'll fix the frozen
ourselves.
Button.
Right.
We'll de-ice
we'll
it.
Defrost.
And I go from there. We know who it is. It's the B-A-B-A-Y-C-I-T-Y Rollers. Remember that song?
B-A-Y-B-A-Y-C-I-T-Y.
The '70s.
Bay City Rollers are the best, as they used to say when we were kids.
They can sing.
Oh, did it go on?
They can do most anything with your R-O-L-L-E-R-S. Bay City Rollers are the best.
Yoo-hoo!
Why are we playing that? What does it mean to you?
Well,
you snogged one of the Bay City Rollers.
I did not.
Come on.
Leslie,
you have a love
joking.
Child for one of the
You're wearing tartan underwear.
Oh, tartan. I remember in the 70s, you know, the Bay City Rollers just were. They were just amazing.
To business.
They really were. And like, we would never go to. You'd never see anything like that. But there was a concert that we went to. I think it was out Port Marnockway. I do remember it was. You know, it was long before the M50, so for you to go north, because I'm south side, to go north side, it felt like you were going out to the country. It was miles. It'd take you hours to get out there, you know. But we went out, my best friend Sandra, and we went out, her dad brought us out, and we saw the Bay City Rollers. Yeah, it was great. And we were riddled with them. Well, apart from hormones.
Excuse me.
Riddled with hormones. No, we're riddled with tartan, I meant.
Don't go that far. Thank you. Riddled with tartan.
This is a family show now. It's a family show.
Tartan.
There's no dirt. But,
did you wear your tartans?
I had my tartan on,
wow.
And we had a pair of black trousers and we tartan up the side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
oh,
just so.
Weak for you, Jim.
So amazing.
I was
only 17 at the time. You know.
Would you like to be 17 again?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, what would you do different?
I don't know. I'd love to do it all again. I really did.
The same way?
Well, no, I suppose there's certain things that you wouldn't do. You know what I mean? Like, as I say, with Peter, you know.
You wouldn't do that again?
No, what I mean is like, I would have, you know, hopefully, I would have met him years before that.
Yeah, but hang on a second
earlier.
Now. If you did meet him years before that and marry him years, you wouldn't have been ready. And he probably wouldn't have been ready. You were ready for each other at the time you met.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
No, you don't think so?
I don't know. But we don't know what would happen. But I loved those years. I think the 70s music was the best. It really was, you know.
Now, you like something else as well, so we have another clip for you.
Okay.
Here it is.
Four candles. Here you are. Four candles.
No, four candles.
Well, there you are, four candles.
No, four candles. Handles for forks.
The two Ronnie sketch. Four candles in the hardware store.
They were fantastic.
But Big Ronnie came into Little Ronnie.
Yeah. Oh, they're just fantastic. And like, even to this day, their comedy still stands. You know, they were just brilliant. And they had, I remember they did the Maris dancing. Remember they did the Maris dancing?
Yeah.
One of the guys couldn't make it, so their sister would have to stand in. So, of course, she comes in with these very tight white trousers. So, of course, the two of them, Ronnie and the other guy, of course, are chasing her around. Their comedy was just fantastic. And I grew up with that kind of comedy. Two Ronnies, Morecambe and Wise, Kenny Everett, Dick Emery, all that kind of stuff. And I absolutely adore their comedy. As I say, I think I've got every DVD that they possibly have, you know. No, they're great comics.
And would you learn anything from them? I mean, if you're looking at your own...
Do you mean plagiarise or learn?
Well, plagiarise, yeah. No, I mean, if you're, you know, your own performances are very energetic. There's dancing, there's singing, there's the whole shooting match, so to speak. So what do you take from them, June?
Well, I take... of course, Martin writes all the comedy for me, but I would get the character. We actually did a reenactment thing of that, like, Maris dancing thing, but we did it with leprechauns and we did all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, where the sticks, we were hitting the sticks, we had, like, a little... like, what you call these things, the in the door? I'm just having a senior moment.
Frame?
No.
Hinge.
The hinges.
Hinge,
we had little hinges. So when they hit my stick, then that would fall down. It's
all about
visual comedy
absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. But you do a lot of sketches in your show.
Do a lot of sketches.
Yeah, and they work. I'd love to see a sketch show with you on telly.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go and make it.
Are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to make it.
Okay,
well, you won't be in it. I'm just going to... No, I'm going to bring back you and Sil Fox.
But you see, I think the
Noel
old
v,
style
Guinnessy and all those guys
is what people...
People do.
And
do you know
it
what?
Proves it when you go out with a show.
Well,
people
tell you what's
are hungry
proved
for
it. Is kind of the Mrs. Brown's Boys has proved it.
Yes.
There's a kind of throwback to that kind of comedy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that something, a sketch show with all of you guys in it would... be a ratings topper.
Yeah.
Maybe go to UTV with it, will you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be better though if they came to me, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Everybody's going to UTV. Anyway, Angus McInally wants to say something, so put on the headphones. He's on the telephone. Angus.
How are you doing, Derek? Look, I was just listening to you there. I'm just in the car driving around. And I was thinking back to, I worked as a kitchen porter, believe it or not, as a summer job in the Country Club in Portmarnock, which was the old Palm Beach in Portmarnock back in 1970. And it's now the big Lynx Hotel there on the right-hand side as you're coming into Portmarnock. And the Bay City Rollers played there, and it was absolutely mayhem. I had never seen anything like it. And I was actually, it was one of the first times in my life I was ever scared when I actually saw them in concert or whatever, just because that wave of people, that surge. And really, I mean, I don't remember the Beatles or whatever, but this was my first exposure to sort of the pop mayhem hysteria. And it's scary when you see it. I can only imagine what it's like for One Direction nowadays or whatever, you know, or the big boy bands or whatever. But it was terrifying because, I mean, you could have as many security people as you want, but if a crowd of a couple of thousand people decide to surge forward, I don't know how you would stop it, you know. But they were brilliant for what they were doing. I mean, it was bonkers. And I never actually managed to wear those particular the tartan trousers or whatever, but certainly they were infectious and they were nice guys. We met them and they were very pleasant and very amiable or whatever, but I'm sure for them it often was terrifying when they were trying to leave a venue and they just simply were surrounded by thousands of people banging on the roof.
But you wore their hairstyle, Angus, I remember.
Well, that's when I had a big head of hair. You've seen the afro shots of me, my goodness, how time it can change people. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, but it was an amazing time, and the girls were screaming, and the gas thing was, I mean, I suppose a bit like when the Beatles and people like that would have been here, you probably didn't hear much of the concert because the screaming was so loud. I mean,
was.
The decibels that can be raised, you'd know that from when an audience is screaming at you.
Yeah, and
some
of the girls actually fainted. They actually had to be carried out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely out of it. That was it.
And the amount of times, I mean, I think in this instance they came out of the venue in the back of a Volkswagen van that was made up to be a bin van or something like that, because you couldn't actually get them into the limos because they'd be surrounded. Yeah. It was terrifying to have to go incognito, you know.
Yeah, that happens to me every year at the Red Cow.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, because they're usually screaming for their money back.
Anyway, you brought back memories to me, Derek.
Thanks, Angus. Talk to you later on.
Yeah,
was it like that? Were you a fainter? Were you a screamer, June, when you went to see the Bay City?
I was a screamer. I was,
Oh, God.
Yeah, we see, when you're 17, you're just riddled with hormones. You don't care.
You're going to be at the Tala Fest, and
well,
I believe you're very
right.
You're very proud and chuffed and delighted to be performing at the Tala Fest. What is the Tala Fest?
The Tala Fest is a festival for Tala, and it's bringing everybody together, because I suppose over the years Tala have, you know, had bad press and things like that, but there are so many good people up there that you know, that do really good things for Tala, you know.
And what are you doing? When is it on, June?
It's on this Saturday.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be up there with I won't tell you what I'm doing because it's supposed to be a little bit of a surprise. But I will be up there doing my bit and I will have lots of little people around me dancing away.
And do you find sometimes, you know, when you go back home, that's your hardest audience? Like yeah. You're going back to Tala, they know you. They expect a lot and yeah. They're kind of going, oh, there's Joanna. Who does she think she is? Is yeah. There any of that?
No, there isn't really. Because
that's very disappointing. Yeah,
no, because I suppose I still see, because I'm not far from Tala now, I'm down in Firhouse, mm-hmm. which is the foot of the Dublin Mountains.
Of course, darling.
And so I see an awful lot of people from, it would be old Tala, because Tala has grown so much over the years. So I still see the older people that I grew with, and then the people I grew up with who now have families or their grandchildren. So they do. I do see them from time to time. So, yeah, hopefully there's none of that. But I think it's good for Tala.
But when are you going to be on?
I'm on Saturday.
Yeah, where?
In Tala, in the Priory. It starts in the Priory and there'll be a big stage there. It kicks off about it right in Tala Village.
What is it?
The Priory, the Dominican Dominicans all at the Priory, the church.
Oh, they're all right. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was a good treatment centre.
And then,
or something,
you see, like. I lived in the village right around the corner beside the other, the St. Mary's Church. Yeah. That's where I was born and bred. When Tala was the country.
Yeah, but it's not the country anymore.
No, it's not the country
it's
anymore.
City.
It's not.
So you're very proud of that, and I'm glad to see that. Town and Country Fair, 23rd of August, Tala Village, Main Street and the Priory.
Yes, absolutely.
Community festival to celebrate the nature, history, yes. arts and culture in yes. Tala, part of National Heritage Week. And it's free for us. You're not even getting paid. People can go and see it free.
Absolutely, yes.
Do you do many freebies?
Well, I do. I do lots of charities. I do lots of, you know, and you get them every week. And unfortunately, you can't do them all.
No.
You can't do that all the time. But I do as much as I possibly can.
Mm.
Yeah.